Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today, I would like to cover, and which one are we using here, the left one?
Left one.
Okay. What I want to do today is to give you an overview of the basic screening survey for older adults. This might be a repeat for some of you, but it may be new to some, so I am going to cover that. I also want to provide you with some recommendations on how you can successfully implement this type of survey, and then some potential interventions on a statewide level to improve the oral health of older adults. So the Basic Screening Survey, or BSS as we call it, for older adults was developed as a joint effort between the ASTDD's Healthy Aging Committee, Data Committee, outside experts, and I would like to just acknowledge Kathy Phipps, Dr. Kathy Phipps, who is the major driver and developer of the BSS, not only for older adults, but for children as well and other populations. So why is this topic important? And we're hearing a little bit this morning about why it's important. And really, if we think about it, a lot of us baby boomers are getting older, even the Rolling Stones. So it is important because our generation really is making a dramatic change in the demographics of the United States. Nadira went over some of these statistics in terms of the graying of America, so I'm not going to go over that too much. But I just want to let you know that there is a history to the BSS. The original BSS was a model that was for all age groups, and it had a limited number of indicators. And for the adults, the only indicators were the number of natural teeth, yes or no, and if they had untreated decay. Now, our newer version of the BSS has been developed so that it's more age-specific, and it has specific indicators for each of those age groups. And there has been a release of the newer revised version of the children, preschool and school children BSS. That occurred in 2008. The BSS for older adults just recently in 2010, and there is another version that will be coming out for the general adult population. Okay, that's not out yet. That's just examples of what the manuals look like for those two different versions. So when we talk about sampling to conduct this type of survey, there is a difference in the sampling that we have for those. In the school and the preschool surveys, which are obviously conducted in schools, we have one location that we can find children. But for your older adult population, we don't have one specific place where we can access older adults. So where do we find them? And as you can see from these illustrations, they're all over the place. We can go to some senior centers, but not all seniors or older adults visit senior centers. And where do they live? Where do older adults live? We see that most older adults live in a home setting, but as they age, there are more older adults living in long-term or assisted living facilities. So the BSS actually recommends two sites that we can access the older adult population, and those are the congregate meal sites and long-term care facilities. Now, we know that we will see varying results in these different different sites that we will be collecting these data, and for the most part, it is anticipated that the senior population will display the most decay or disease. So why were these two groups chosen? First of all, the congregate meal sites were designed for high-risk community-dwelling older adults to go and have their meals. They have set locations. They have set days and times where multiple adults can be surveyed, and you can select a probability sample from those sites. And then in the long-term care facilities, the residents there are at very high risk for oral disease, and you can also select a probability sample from those sites as well. But it is important to understand that because these two locations that are chosen, the individuals there are considered at higher risk for dental disease than those on the overall adult population, the results cannot be generalized to all older adults in the state. The data collection methods are going to be different in the two sites based on the cognitive function of the individuals in the sites themselves. The clinical screening will happen at each site, but the questionnaire, an optional questionnaire, can be administered in the congregate meal site, but probably not in the long-term care facility. And another thing that's important to note, that the BSS for older adults is non-invasive, meaning that no dental tools will be used during the survey, or the screening, I should say. These are the clinical indicators that are recommended. There are 7 that are recommended that you see there. And then there are 5 optional indicators that the states can choose to include or not, okay? But most of the indicators you see range from more simple to more complex. And this is what the optional questionnaire will contain. Questions relative to what a person indicates their oral health status is themselves, whether they have dental insurance, last time they had a dental visit, the frequency of their dental visits, how easily can they access dental care, do they have dry mouth, and have they had oral cancer screenings when they have gone to the dentist's office. And all of these products are available, including the manual and any of the training materials, at the ASTDD website that you see down there on the bottom. So now I want to kind of give you a little bit of a perspective on the states, on a state's perspective of the importance of the BSS for older adults. In 2010, July 2010, Connecticut was fortunate to be a pilot site for the BSS for older adults. And we experienced a lot of the things that other states will experience when they're trying to attempt to do this type of survey. And there are different considerations for each of the types of sites that you're going to be visiting. And one of the things that I learned at the congregate meal site or senior center, where a lot of the congregate meal sites are, is that the members are very, very set in their way. They don't like any change in their routine. And you really don't want to go on bingo day. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing. The other thing that I found interesting was that we were told that they needed to understand why this would benefit them or others. Why would this participation in this type of a survey, why would it benefit them? In Connecticut, what we did was we developed a little flyer that kind of said, you know, if you participate in this survey, you're going to help further the research, and possibly more services can occur for older adults in our state. So it was kind of a justification of, you know, yes, participate, and please, you know, get up from the table that you're playing bingo at and come and do our survey. They like incentives. Anything that you can give away, they will gladly accept. And it's also a good idea to have the center and the staff at the center advertise the event, just so that you can ensure that even if they're just coming to get a toothbrush and toothpaste, that they'll be there the day that you're there. One of the things that we found was that it'd be nice to have a private area where you can actually have patients that have dentures be able to comfortably remove their dentures, as opposed to having them take out their denture in front of all their buddies that they see every day. But one thing that did work was we used peer pressure. We said that, hey, you know, go tell Mrs. Smith over there, this didn't hurt, it was actually kind of fun, and look what I got out of it. So peer pressure does help, whether or not they're teenagers or older adults. Now, for the nursing homes, the first thing that I encountered when I contacted the nursing home administrator was that, oh my God, it's a state inspection. They're coming here from the state. And it took a lot of consideration, talking. I had to have meetings with the administration and his staff because they were afraid of what would be found, what would be the oral health status of their residents, and would there be repercussions. So we really had to do a lot of reassuring to make sure that the administration knew that the residents and the facilities were not going to be identified in any of the reports. And so I would really recommend that anybody doing this do have that type of one-on-one communication with the administrators of the nursing facilities. It's preferable to see the patients in their rooms or the residents in their rooms for their comfort and their privacy, but some of the surveying or screening will be done in common areas. So it's going to depend on the facility and what their comfort level is. It's important to engage the nursing staff. I was not aware of the nursing staff was very, very concerned about their residents. They really wanted to be involved in the oral health status of their residents. Make sure that you do make any nursing staff aware of any suspicious lesions that you find, because they have to follow up with anything that might be detected during the survey. And again, incentives are nice, but you have to make sure that the patient is cognizant to be able to leave any kind of toothbrushes or anything with them. It all really was about communication with the residents, and we got a lot of hugs during the days that we were there. So why would a state want to do a BSS for their older adults? As you can see from Natalia's data, she had national data from the NHANES study, but most states do not have state-specific oral health data for their older adults. There are limited oral health questions in the BRFSS system. Those questions really are, how long has it been since you've been to the dentist, how many permanent teeth have been removed due to decay or gum disease, and how long has it been since your last cleaning. Those are the only standardized questions that are in the BRFSS. You can add state-specific questions, but those are not standard for every state. To further the BRFSS limitations, the BRFSS is a telephone interview of adults in randomly selected households. The oral health questions are asked only every 2 years, so you're not getting an annual question on oral health, it's every 2 years. And it does not address the overall health status of the individuals in your state. And you also have a limited ability to reach the elderly population, especially for those in assisted living or nursing facilities. So it really doesn't get to the older adult population. And without that data, we know that data drives policy. So if we don't have it, we're not going to be moving that much. And we also know that without appropriately assessing and monitoring the oral health of our older population, states cannot appropriately address their oral health needs. So when I was asked to provide some potential interventions on a statewide level, I thought about something that actually we used in Connecticut that was data-driven, and it was a program that we developed based on our first survey of children's oral health in Connecticut. As I said, we did our first BSS for children in 2007, and we had 31% of our children that already had decay, and 14% of them already had rampant decay, which was five or more teeth that were involved. So as a result, we were fortunate to be granted some funding from HRSA to develop a program that was geared specifically towards early childhood decay prevention. And that's our Home by One program. So our Home by One program, what we did was we focused on the WIC families and their staff, and we had four key objectives. The first one was to make sure that children had their first dental visit by age one, And the way that we did that was to develop a media campaign and also train dentists and dental professionals in age one dental visits, because a lot of dentists and hygienists are not very comfortable treating young children, just as they're not very comfortable treating the geriatric population. The next focus area that we had was to develop parent oral health advocacy education, so that parents were actually empowered to advocate for oral health for themselves and their families. We also made sure that the WIC staff incorporated oral health risk assessment and education into their nutritional education. The next we did was we provided education to medical providers on oral health risk assessment, fluoride varnish application, and those services they were able to bill for in Connecticut. And that was really something that we wanted to make sure this was happening in the well child visits. So as a result of this program and the activities and the increased awareness of oral health for children in Connecticut, there have been new policies and programs developed as a result. Excuse me. One thing that really has that we're very proud of is that for the first time there's a state performance measure for the maternal and child health block grant in Connecticut based on the oral health of young children. And we also have a reimbursement incentive, a pay for performance measure for primary care sites to include the provision of dental services or the referral of dental services to children at or below age 3. And also, one of the things that we saw in our most recent survey was that there was, in our Head Start population, an 11% decrease in decay experience than we saw in 2007. And while we can't say that the Home by One program was a direct causal effect of that, we certainly can say that it had an impact. So what I'm trying to equate here in terms of what you can potentially do, and this is what both of the previous speakers were talking about, was really to engage more people in the oral health efforts of your state programs. Just as we educated dentists in H1 dental visits and treating young children, you can educate dentists in geriatric care. Use the media the same way that we did for children. Use the media for oral health for older adults. Promote the advocacy of oral health from older adults and their caregivers so that it's not just the dental community talking about itself. It's coming from the population that we're talking about themselves. Educate senior center and long-term care center staff in oral health and what their role is. And also, the same as we educated medical providers, do the same for the oral health for seniors and older adults. So what can the BSS do for older adults? Well, as I was trying to describe the success that we've had because of the data that we collected on children in Connecticut, we see the potential for that same type of replication to get those same types of positive results. And ultimately, I think we in the dental community want to see the BSS for older adults help to make sure that oral health is part of healthy aging. So, thank you.